looking at Oyston Tess. Al Tosim Einecho L'Misha Ola L'Oysher Yosem Imcha El L'Mishu Tachtecho. So don't look about the people which are more wealthy than you. The sense being that you'll be therefore be jealous, but rather look at the fact that you have more than other people. The Mora says that famous story of Rabbi Akiva and Kalba Savua, that his wife Rachel, the daughter of Kalba Savua, so they were very poor. And Shemina Shemayim, they said to Leo Novi to knock on his door that somebody is looking, he could borrow some straw. His wife gave birth and doesn't even have straw for her to lie the baby on. She said, you know, the somebody has less than us. We should be appreciative of the fact that we have something. So Rabbi Akiva looked, I mean, it wasn't all of a sudden that now he's on the lowest income level. So, you know, all of a sudden now he thinks he's the richest person in the world. Of course, there's people richer than him. But he appreciated the fact that they didn't hit the rock bottom, that this fellow didn't even have straw to put his baby, a brand new born baby, on. So we're appreciative of everything which we have. The Rosh is telling him to do that because obviously it's not easy to do. Our society for sure is into that. All of advertising, all of this is the message: don't be happy with what you have. You know, the advertising sounds like they're selling you this wonderful thing that you'll be so happy with, right? You'd have this new phone, and then they'll solve all your problems. It'll come, right? That's not what they're really doing. They're really saying the old phone you have is not good enough. You need a new one. I have a phone already, but they're saying no. You don't have. There's a better one out there. Right? Your car. There's a better one out there. The house. There's a better one out there. The message is always: there's something better out there. Get it. Don't be left behind. Everyone else is getting the better one, and not you. Right? That's the message. So our society is very much into the opposite of what the Rosh is saying. Imagine the advertising like this. You know what you have? It's good enough. It lasts until now. Keep it. That'd be great. But they wouldn't sell anything. So they're not out there to come up with the nicest, best, you know, product. Therefore, they're making your life better. That's the sales pitch to why they can be happy, because they can make a lot of money. That's all it is. Right? We are here for you. It's a fascinating thing to me. The whole advertising world, the ability, the playing with the psychology of people. I remember this. You know, I'm from Cleveland, so I forgot exactly what it was that they built a new stadium for the Indians, right? So the city kicked an X out the money, you know, because you know it's so, you know, the team is our team, like, you know, our team. The guys didn't grow up in Cleveland. They're not going to stay in Cleveland. We're paying an X out the money to come to Cleveland. Once they get a better offer, they can go somewhere else. So why are they our team? What do they do with me? So therefore, we're going to pay all this money because it's our team. It belongs to the owner, whose goal in life is like make a lot of money, and he's such a good businessman. He convinces you that you want to pay taxpayers' money. Why he shouldn't? He should get a tax break to build this stadium. Really? Like, you know, excuse me. You want to make a business? I got to pay for the rent for my place. You get it free from the city? Like, no, because it's our team. That's the power of advertising. You know, he convinces the whole city that it's all about them. You know. Then they have this thing. The country made fun of Cleveland, which is not a new thing. They always make fun of Cleveland, but they gave a nickname to the fans. They probably don't have it anymore, right? They call them dogs, DAWGS. The whole country made fun of it. You know, they walk around, I'm a dog. You know, like really? Okay, that's a different issue. But I'm having fun of Cleveland. I am, but it's okay. So what should we do? So a person, we spoke about before, like, instead of the Chabad Lubavitch says a fascinating thing. He has the following thought process. He says, what's the purpose of his sefer? The Chabad Lubavitch was the first Musar sefer written that we have written. You know, we have Chazal, we have the Gaonim didn't write, they wrote a few halachas from, that's it. Chazal was 100 years before Rashi. He's the first Musa Sefer they have written. He says, why are we writing the Sefer? We have the following problem. He says, imagine the following scenario. We have an individual who's a big Bel Chesed, and he does tremendous chesed for people. And he did chesed for two individuals. Individual number one was a person who was traveling. This fellow lives in an oasis. Somebody was traveling, got lost along the way. His water ran out, his food ran out. He just made it to the oasis. He comes to this person's house. The person realizes he's about to expire. Gives him food, gives him drink, takes care of him a few days, gets him back to his health and sends him home. So he saved his life. Right? Tremendous akaras hatov. He really appreciates it, etc. Okay. Number two. One day he finds a child, a foundling by his doorstep. Somebody left him there. Brings the child in, raises the child, gives the child everything he needs. Right? So he says, who has more akaras hatov? The one-time visitor or the child? He says, the one-time visitor. Why? Who should have more akaras hatov? The child. He took care of him for 20 years of his life. He says, it was just one time. He gave him, you know, chesed many, many, many more times. And he just did one time, he did a chesed for him. It's beautiful. But because this person got it as an adult, and it wasn't there beforehand, so he felt his lack, and then he appreciates what he got. And this child got it when he was not—he didn't have an intelligent thought process yet—and he grew up considering this called normal. This is the way life is. So he has nothing to contrast it against. He doesn't understand. So I'm writing the Sefer to get you out of that mold. The mold is going to be we take things for granted. So whatever I have, you know, if I would just get this, I'd be happy. And then, you know, 3 days later, I'm not happy again. So what happened? Because I felt the lack. As soon as the lack is missing, I don't appreciate it anymore. The training is, I look at Misha Taktecho and realize that there's things which people are lacking, and I have them. So each day, I review the fact that I have so much. Do we need to? Does a person want to wait till he ends up in the hospital with his life being threatened to appreciate that he has life? Does a person want to have his foot being threatened to be amputated to appreciate that he has a leg? So Chazal said no. Chazal said make a bracha on every day. Make a bracha that you have clothing. Make a bracha that you have shoes. Make a bracha that you can walk. Make a bracha that you can go to the bathroom. Go to the hospital and go to the ward where people have to do dialysis. Right? And then say Asher Yetzar. But we don't do that. So the Rosh is saying we need to stop, push and stop. There are people like that. So yes, I should only do the thought process without I don't have to go see somebody else's sores to appreciate what I have. That's like sad. The only way you can appreciate what you have is because somebody else has sores. That's pretty not correct. But that's where we're at. We only recognize the value of something when we see chesor. So at least that much. Notice the people who have the chesor, that they're lacking it, and appreciate that you are beyond that and you have something. Okay. So what should the reaction to that person, you know, to the person should be when that happens? To me, I feel like if a person would say Birchas HaShachar, really thinking about what he's saying, really absorbing it. I had cataract surgery 21 years ago. I had cataract surgery in both eyes. And I didn't realize how bad my eyesight was until after the surgery. I mean, it was bad. When I was a Rebbe, I could not see the buckle in the back of the shirah. I was in the front. I couldn't see what was going on. I saw blurry realities in the back. I didn't let the Bacharim know that, because then that really would have been dangerous what they're doing in the back of the shirah. But I just couldn't see. I couldn't drive at nighttime because, you know, because of the cataract, I would just see light. I wouldn't see the road. My house was full of like extra light all over the place, and I had the surgery, and I hadn't seen the color white. I hadn't seen the color white for years, because when I looked through the cataract, it would come out grayish, yellowish. But I forgot what white looked like. I forgot the color white. To me, that was called white. So I remember the day after they took off the patch, like, you know, 2 days after the surgery, they took off the bandage, and I walked into the yeshiva bathroom, which has white tiles, in where the washing station is. And I couldn't tear my eyes off of the wall. It was so beautiful to see white. I forgot what it looked like. I'm just staring at the walls, and there's like Buckham walking, like, what is he doing? Like, you know, like Rabbi Reingold is there, he's doing it again. You know, like, you know, that's why I ended up in Silver Spring. Anyway, and I said to Kathy Ibrahim that morning with such an intensity. I promised myself, I'm going to say it with this intensity the rest of my life. You know, it lasted for a few days, right? I believe if a person would say Brichas HaShachar, really stopping to think what it means that a person can't see, absorbing that reality, and then opening his eyes and say, I can see. And doing the same thing with clothing and walking. First of all, it would take him a long time to say Brichas HaShachar, but he would be on such a high, a euphoria, that Pashut, he'd be the happiest person in the world. Because look what you have. Right? One of our challenges, we spoke about, you know, the issue of people don't smile, they're not happy. This is part of the problem, that we don't smile because we don't appreciate. Revolver writes, he has a section on in Al Asher Kelev Beis about Simcha. He says that a person should work in saying the bracha of Shasali called Sarki, just stopping and thinking about that statement. Just think about what it means. The version that you've given me everything that I need. I'm Amish, I have everything that I need. Just absorb it, not say it. Not know what I know what the words mean. That's Kavanah, like we spoke about. That's not Kavanah. Kavanah is just to direct your thought on something. Direct your thought on what you on that message, and stop and absorb it. Russian, you know, I need to thank you. I need to say I have this tremendous course of thought. I just want to say thank you. That I once heard from somebody that said that many people in this world live for 5 days. They live for the day they're going to graduate high school. It's always like, one day I'm going to graduate high school. Like, that's the day you live for. And then the day you get married, you know, the day you have your first kid, then your first kid's chasna, and your first grandchild. That's it. So you live 70 years for 5 days. Because everything, one day I'm going to get there. Like, I'm alive today. I have everything I need today. I'm like, you know, the person Betzim should be, I should be so overwhelmed that he doesn't do it himself. He should be dancing from Simcha. That I have what I need. And and that'll make a difference in my interaction with the Kodesh Baruch Hu, interaction with the people around me. If I'm like that, you know what? Everyone in the world can have what I need. There's no jealousy. I'm happy you should have yours, and happy you should have yours. Okay, what's to be jealous of? I'm so rich. If I'm the richest person in the world, I have a problem with somebody else have something. Problem is I'm not, so I think, you know, I'm jealous. What am I jealous about? You would feel so rich. You would be pashut ready. There's a word in Yiddish for gin. I'm pashut totally excited that everybody else should have something, all their needs, because I'm so rich. That should be the reaction to Birchas HaShachar. That's what the Rosh is telling us. Right? Look at, say Birchas HaShachar, just say it right. Right? Say a bracha after your person goes to the bathroom. Say a bracha that you have food. I remember my uncle, he was in Siberia during the war. So we sat one time, the family was together, they put a loaf of bread on the table. And he Pasha couldn't stop talking. He's just like, a loaf of bread? He says, we dreamt of a loaf of bread. What we wouldn't give for a loaf of bread? We were starving. He says, a loaf of bread. Like, a loaf of bread, you know, like a loaf of bread. And him, it was like, wow, I just got a diamond, a diamond like this big. You know, he lived through Siberia. He understood what it means not to have. So you say bracha. It's just like there's so many times Chazar Machayev us just stop and think of how much we have, and it will inject such simcha in our lives. We will actually smile at the person next to us. Okay.